granddaughter, and I had all four of the grandsons for lunch. Three of them were quite cooperative. They took their place along the island. But the fourth was being a little bit squirrely. He didn't want to eat right now, and he didn't want what Grandpa was cooking just yet. And funny thing was, the other three started egging him on. They started cheering the rebel as he was trying to get away from Grandpa there. But I explained the way of life more perfectly to him and said, no, you're going to eat when Grandpa says you're going to eat. You're going to eat what Grandpa says that you're going to eat. And he took a dash for a corner. And I heard the boys from the island shouting, use your ninja moves, Parker. Use your ninja moves. So Parker, he assumed a karate position that he had learned from his cartoons. And within short order, he was hanging upside down from his ankle, and I was tickling his foot until he cried for mercy and pledged loyalty to the kingdom once more. So I set him upright on his chair, and I asked the other boys, do you want a piece of that? Thankfully, they said no, and I had a peaceful kingdom to reign over instead of the constant chaos. That's Psalm 2. That is Psalm 2 in an illustration. That's Psalm 2 in story form. The nations have decided to throw off the rule of God. You can almost hear them shouting at one another, use your ninja moves, use your nuclear weapons, use your courtrooms, use your entertainment, but throw off the rule of the Father. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and their rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. Father, I have no idea. I have no answer to that. Help us, Lord, to find the way home. Correct us, as David would say, but not in your wrath, lest we be destroyed, but correct us in your kindness and show us the way that is right. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not my intention to preach through all 150 Psalms in this four Sunday set of at Thanksgiving time, but I couldn't get past Psalm 2 without us addressing it because it has a message that is applicable to every person on the face of the planet. What's written here has an effect on everybody, and you have a right to hear what God has spoken over you, over your nation, over the world. The psalmist asks, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their shackles. It's also an appropriate word for this Veterans Day, and we appreciate everybody who has served. As you look at our history, our hope is that God has used us as a nation to help other nations, not to build an empire, but to help others find what is good and right. I'm sure that there are blemishes on our record, but I think the overall record will show that when we have gotten involved in conflicts, it has not been self-serving, but it has been to service others and to help release oppressed people and bring freedom to dark places. As I look at this psalm, the first thing I want us to marvel at, almost as a side note, is the Christology in it. Christology is Christ showing up in the Old Testament. Before there was the revelation of Christ, how is he seen here? Israel was solidly monotheistic. They believed in one God. Behold, the Lord your God is one Lord, the scriptures say in Deuteronomy. One Lord. And yet we read in this psalm, against the Lord and his anointed one. Now you and I can see Jesus in that. It's his anointed one. And instead of saying, let us break off his chains, God's chains, let us break off their chains, their shackles. Just like back in Genesis, where it says, let us make God in our own image. The Trinity shows up. There is a picture, a reflection of the Holy Trinity and of the salvation that is going to be worked through that plurality in the Godhead. This is my Father's world. Everything has been created by Him and for Him. It finds its purpose. It finds its meaning. I find my purpose. I find my meaning, and you do as well, in the fact that we were created by God, designed with specific purposes in mind. When we rebel against that, we resist the reason we're here. When we yield to it, we come to life. We come to our purpose. God is only ever good. These are revelations of Scripture that are true. This is my Father's world, created everything, and it's created for Him. God is only ever good. God cannot be not good. God cannot be bad. He is only ever good. And He is good toward all He has made. Whenever the creatures decide to throw off the rule of God, they rebel against that which is good, and it results in evil. When we think we know better than the Lord, we're in trouble. And let me redefine for you again what we talked about last week. What is wickedness? What is evil? God has the right to define for us what is good and what is wrong. And anything that He has defined as good is good. Anything that He has said is bad is bad. If He calls it sinful, it's sinful. Our emotions toward any particular subject may change. We may now be appalled at what we used to love, or we may now love what we used to be appalled at. That doesn't change the law of God. You will find different people having different reactions to the very same stimulus. We're going through that as a nation right now in the polarization of two political parties. And you bring up a subject and you will get strong reactions on both sides. Bring up the subject of abortion. And you will have people who will take to the streets and carry their placards, and they will shout and they'll do whatever they can pro and against. They feel very agitated, very motivated on their side of the opinion. Well, there are not two rights. Who's to say, oh, I know what we should do. We're democratic. Let's vote on it. If enough people feel that it's right, it must be right. Right? No. What if all the other nations are doing it? That should clue us in. Maybe we should send out a study as to how other nations are conducting their business. And if they all do it a certain way, maybe we should be doing it that way too. What is the source? Where do we go to find out, am I right or am I wrong? Is there anything in your life you used to feel very opposed to, but now you're very much for, and vice versa? Well, of course, we are human beings, and we change our opinions a lot. Sometimes they're changed for us. What's the source? He's the source. He created everything for Himself and for His pleasure. And if you want to know what's right, you ask Him. You go to His Word, and you study there. Have you ever been corrected by His Word? I know I have. Man, sometimes I feel like I've just been to the chiropractor after I spent some time in His Word. Oh, wow, but it kind of feels good too. We get adjusted. He's the source. We need a source. Human beings need a source. If we only went according to our emotions, how messed, you probably know some people who are very emotional. And they're up and they're down and they're, sometimes you're having a wonderful time. Other times, well, you wish you were somewhere else on some other planet. You know, you cannot go by emotions. You cannot go by feelings. You cannot go by popular opinion. These things swirl all the time. There is a solid rock upon which a society can be founded. And there has to be a rule of law, but whose law? This is my Father's world. And whenever we choose to be ruled by something other, when we move off of the foundation, there's chaos. All of a sudden, well, whose opinion counts? Where will we go for counsel? What will we use as our true north when we set our compass? If there are no solids, should the military rule? Should the majority rule? What will teach us right and wrong? Nations rise up against other nations, cities against cities, neighbors against neighbors, brothers against sisters. It's never worked. Anything outside the Word of God has never worked. But whenever a nation has set itself to honor the Lord and obey His instructions, that nation has prospered. I quoted a study, I think it was last year, year before, in one of my sermons. China sent a delegation to study our culture. Because we have prospered so much through the years, they studied our culture and wanted to find out what is the key to our success. Is it this, what do we call it, capitalistic economy that we're built on capitalism? Is that the source of it? You know, just what is it that makes us work? And an atheistic government sent agents in to find out what is the key to our success. And what they came back with was, it's their Judeo-Christian heritage. This is the foundation upon which this society was formed. And it's out of that that all has grown. Even pagans, if they stop. And isn't that the testimony of the Old Testament? God kept saying, the other nations will see how I treat you, and they will know that I am God. I was reading this morning, let's see, as Zechariah. And it said, when you serve me, I'll make sure that even the dew shows up. Isn't that wild? When a nation starts to tinker and pull back, the things of nature become contrary rather than helpful. But when a society comes back to God, He controls nature in such a way that it's a blessing again. He said, even the dew will show up. Isn't that wild? We should have research and studies on that kind of a thing. God is saying He's always shown us. You serve the Lord, and I will bless you. You serve the Lord. And I don't know how many other examples a person or a nation would even need. Nations like our own, founded on biblical principles, we often come to a point where we think, oh, gee, aren't we a great people? And let's see, what's the secret to, oh, it must be capitalism. That's what has gotten us here. Or it must be, you know, the democratic foundation stones. Or it's actually a republic. It's not really a democracy. And maybe it was this, maybe it was that. Idiots. There's only one foundation stone that is solid. There's only one that promises success and prosperity. The Lord our God is ever faithful. We trust in Him. We trust in Him alone. But when we begin to move away from that, the shadows begin to gather. It's the human condition. I don't want to eat lunch when you want me to eat lunch. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I don't want to be ruled. I don't care if you're benevolent. I don't care. But Paul revealed to us, sorry, you're always going to have a master. You have a choice, but you're always going to have a master. You can serve the Lord or you can serve the evil one. Those are your choices. And when you think you're serving self, you're serving the evil one, and the consequences will come. I don't want to wait until marriage. I don't want to pray. I don't want to hear there's only one way. I don't want to do what I'm told. I really don't care what effect it has on anybody else. Our text tells us it's actually a united effort. Throw off the rule of God. And instead of yelling to one another, use your ninja moves, what we say is, use your educational system. Teach them from little on up these wicked things. Use your entertainment. Use your entertainment. Tell stories that are grandiose and put it on big screens and put on little screens too and just keep drumming it in. Put it in your music. Use your entertainment. That's how we'll throw it off. Use your courts. Your court. Oh, those Ten Commandments, that's got to go. Well, no, you use your courts. Use your laws. You use your legal system. Just make up laws, whatever works for you. You can change them later. Yeah, use your ninja moves, nations. We can throw off this rule of God. In fact, there will come a day when all the nations of the earth gather together to say, we're done with you, God. We're done with you. We've got nuclear weapons now. We've got this and we've got that. But until then, there are all these local rebellions going on. We will do as we please. So mankind plots and prepares. He schemes and works toward the day when he will show God who's boss. Well, the next couple of verses here in our psalm give us God's reaction to what all these people are plotting. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. So humans rise up to erase all evidence of God. They burn Bibles. They refute truth. They create fantastic lies about creation, why we're here, and what happens next. I just heard the report the other day of a teacher who was dismissed on leave for a while they decide what comes of things, because they had a Bible in their car sitting in the parking lot, and students were able to see the Bible in their car. We know that in Canada today, you can get arrested by quoting certain scriptures from the pulpit. Isn't that fantastic? We're not burning the Bibles. We're just censoring the people who represent the Bible. And we'll get them that way. This is a new wave. They elevate themselves and promote pleasure, comfort, and a virtual reality that is perfect. They intend to dethrone God. Go get your own planet, God. This one's taken. We've taken over. The inmates have taken over the asylum. So you can imagine, God sees that they're all united. They've got the educational system. They've got Hollywood in their dossier. And you can just see God pacing back and forth. And, oh my, they have weapons of mass destruction too. What are we going to do? What am I going to do here? Oh my, the people. They're all upset right now. They don't like the way I've done things. Oh, I feel so bad. He just, that's God, right? He's just wringing his hands. He doesn't know what to do. No, actually, no. The Bible says he laughs. You wonder why God doesn't respond immediately to rebellion? He's got to wait until he's done laughing for a while. He's just rolling. He got to wipe the tears out of his eyes so he could see clearly again. They're doing what? Are you serious? Come on now. In fact, the Lord scoffs at him. He does this in him. Yeah, that's why sometimes we get a real rain shower. You know, he just, you know, oh man. The Lord scoffs at him. What? Oh man. But he doesn't stop there. When he's done laughing, after he's wiped his eyes, he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them with his wrath. You don't think that happens? look at world news for a little while. See what's happening in nations around the world. Nations that have rejected God, have proclaimed some other God or some other system to be put in place. And there's that Christology again. I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Who's he talking about? Jesus. And he shall reign forever and ever. This is why any nation that tries to rule the nations crashes and burns. And it's happened over and over again. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, England, Germany, Japan. Anytime they come up and say, we will rule the nations. I'm sorry, that job's taken. That job already belongs to the one who is worthy. I think that's been part of the genius of the United States of America. Again, we've done some things wrong. I'm not getting all puffed up here, what have you, but we don't try to build an empire. We don't try to take over other lands and absorb them into our own, try to go in and help where we can. Hasn't always been a perfect science for sure, but we know better than to become an empire. The earth already has a king, a ruler, a God. Move on to verse 7. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. This is the first and the greatest Father's Day ever. God the Father said to the Son, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Hebrews picks up on this theme and explains how they work salvation for us. There were three equal members of the Godhead, and each one assumed a role in order for us to be saved. Every description of Trinity falls short, okay? So understand that. This isn't solid theology here. This is an illustration to help us. But if you had triplets that you couldn't tell apart, they just looked exactly alike, and one said, okay, I'll take this job, you take that job, and you do the other. I'll be the manager, you be the worker, you be the truck driver. Three different jobs need to be done. Somebody has to do it. I'll do this, you do that, and from now on, I'll be known as the manager, you'll be known as the worker, you'll be known as the truck driver. Today, I have become your father. There was a day. They existed from all eternity. They didn't exist from all eternity as Father, Son, and Spirit. They existed from all eternity as three in one, and to work salvation, one said, okay, I'll be the Father. I will give direction. You will be the Son. You will be the one that goes and offers the sacrifice, and you will be the Spirit. You will communicate, and then you will also anoint when the time comes. Three equal members of the Godhead, each assumed a role in order to work to complete the mission that would save us from the wages of our sin. One became the Father, one became the Son, one became the Holy Spirit. As a result of the Son's obedience and sacrifice to the Father, he said, ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Who owns the nations of the world? The Father. He said, Son, because of your obedience, just ask me. Go ahead and ask. And I'll give you it all. I'll give it all to you. The devil tried to cut in on that, but he has no possession. This is my Father's world. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. They go to the one God chooses, and that one will rule with an iron rod. And any who are rebellious, he will smash to pieces as if they were pottery. It doesn't matter how big, how strong, how much weaponry. He will smash them to pieces like pottery. You can imagine little shards of pottery being scattered all over again, impossible to be put back together again. Why? Because he alone is good. His rule brings peace, security, and prosperity. Blessed are those whose God is the Lord, and he will protect them from all rebels. We close with an ominous warning to all the world's leaders. Verse 10. Therefore, you kings, presidents, prime ministers, whoever you are, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son or he will be angry and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. How many would say that's pretty clear? That's easy to understand. Serve the Lord and live. Use him as a refuge and you will be safe. Fight against him and here comes that iron rod. Kersmash. And you are already on a path of destruction. Would to God that every leader in the world would hear this, would see this, would know this, because they're going to certainly be held accountable before the Lord. Those who submit to God's rule find refuge in the Lord. This is not just a message to nations. It's a message to every individual. Submit to God's rule and find refuge in the Lord. Resist his rule, and it's absolutely ridiculous. You have no strength. You have no power. You have no right. You have no footing in the courts of heaven to refute the rule of our God. Submit to God and your nation will prosper. It will grow while others struggle. No one dare lose their fear of God and think they can get away with living outside his rule. If you obey his laws, if you disobey his laws, you will suffer the consequences. You're not getting away with anything. Oh, you may be laughing and giggling for a moment. But as soon as God is done laughing, you will be sorry. Just like empires come crashing down, so do individual lives. Isn't it sad what's happening in our society? Even in churches, I see it over and over again. I talk with fellow pastors. They wrestle with this all the time. What do you do when a couple living together comes to you and says, we want to get married in your church? What do you do when, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want this. We don't want that. If we love them, we'll tell them the truth. If you want God's blessing on your life, you got to do it God's way. Does that make sense? We can't do it the world's way and then say, okay, God, now bless it. We're going to make a leap now. We know we always do things not your way, but now we're coming to the altar and we want to do it, your way from now on. Once we get married, we'll start doing it God's way. Once I get wealthy, I'll start obeying your laws on finance. Once this happens, then. Trying to think of the Greek word for that. Stupid. Stupid. Maybe if it's Greek, it's stupidus or something like that. But no. Who are we to think we know better than God? I mean, we can laugh at nations when they do that. We can laugh at people who do not follow our political views because it's ridiculous. But I'm guilty of having done that. How about you? Knowing what God has said and yet thinking, I think in this particular one little instance, I think I know better here. Ha! Mm-hmm. Kiss the Son, or he will be angry and your way will lead to your destruction. He won't be doing anything. You'll get there on your own. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. My advice to you this morning, my friend, take refuge in him. How do we do that? Not just with our words, but how we live. Live to please God, and you will find a refuge in your time of trouble. Would you stand with me?